It is our biblical worldview question of the week. Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away, Happy New Year to you.
Well, Happy New Year to you, Steve. It is good to turn the corner and start a new year and make it better than the last one, that's for sure.
Well, you know, we have a choice in that. Yesterday we were talking about, during our scripture, the very fact that if we just aim to be pleasing to God and we're intentional about it, we have a choice to make. And so we can kind of shape what that's going to look like in 2021. So will 2021 bring hope for a better world?
Well, you know, sadly, I think people are just expecting 2021 to do that. And, you know, this is an interesting situation. We all want a better year, supposedly, whatever better means. But now that it's behind us and we're starting a new year, if we look at the weather this morning, talking about fog and maybe snow, and we've had horrible storms already around this country, and clearly, you know, politically, we are depressed. You know, we're sick of it. This is a big day that, you know, in that regard. But in COVID-19 is alive, and we have some vaccines, but it's killing people. It's causing havoc and great sadness and anxiety in families. And just the state of the mind is filled with depression and anxiety, and suicides are on an all-time high. And we look at this, we said, Lord, is there any hope? Because simply the clock turning one more time is not giving us the hope that we want. And I think we have to say, so where is my hope? The question that has been asked through the ages.
Well, that is a great question. Is there hope for us in 2021 then, Nancy?
Yeah, and that's a question that we're all asking. What does tomorrow bring? But again, I think that you've hit on it so many times already today, but the circumstances will always dictate the pulse of a godless culture. I mean, that's just kind of my thought for this whole issue of a better world. Is one coming this year? Because circumstances that we're going through for a Christian should be seen as distractions that do not take away our hope in God. Although they flood us, they just dump on us, you know, these circumstances of people being gravely ill, many dying. And those things are real, they're big, they're terrifying. But in the end, that those things that happen never cloud God's vision or distract him from accomplishing his plan. It never keeps us from God, because he has given us access through his son to his wisdom, to his peace that passes all understanding, that are available to us, that are real, that are active in spite of what's going on around us. Yeah. And that is a reality that people need to understand. It's true. It's real. It is there. He is there. He is available to all who seek after him. And that choice you were talking about, Steve, is to whom are we going to listen to this year?
Yes.
You know, and who are we going to follow? Are we going to follow the culture that is godless, that has our emotions going up and down and all over the place, that feeling of hopelessness? Or are we going to settle down and listen and read, as you were talking about earlier today, the Word of God? And it's, you know, Vody Bachman, he always kind of puts stuff just there out there. And he said, our worship is not a response to how Jesus makes us feel. Our worship is a response to Jesus's worth, regardless of how we feel. You know, he is who he is. And circumstances do not change that. I love Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual worship. And you hear Paul, you almost hear his voice here saying, look, don't be conformed to the world. Don't be worried. Don't be filled with anxiety is what he's saying. Don't be hooked into thinking there's an easy way out that clever men, you know, have devised. It says here, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, which is what we're all going through now, you may discern what is the will of God. And this is the key, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. So he has it there for us. His will is what is good, acceptable, and perfect, even though from our perspective, it seems chaotic and awful. But I think the bigger picture here is enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. You know, wide and easy, he said, those ways lead to destruction. And it's way too easy for us as human beings who like comfort and ease, you know, to follow the way the world is going, even in our churches, that leads to destruction. This is something that I think has happened over the past several years, and actually over eons, where the church just gets off track, and I'm sure you've seen it, in your life every day, Steve.
Well, one of the things that we've got to be concerned about within the church is, are we just really trying to make the Word of God appealing so that we bring in without discipling? So what do you mean with regard to the churches, though?
Yeah, you know, I spoke to a pastor who's a really close friend of mine, but shies away from teaching the truth about what God calls us to do. And I asked him, well, what about the gospel? What about the idea that Jesus Christ died and rose again for our sins? And what about the idea that God calls us to die to our sinful selves and humbly following him by loving and obeying him and loving and serving others instead of this idea of prosperity? You know what he told me? He said this: if I talked about the death of Jesus, if I told people that they had to die to themselves, I wouldn't have anybody in my pews. I'm not sure I even understand it. And that's from a guy who was leading a very big church. So I am just saying that the path is not easy. It's not this thing where you're going to skip down the path and say, oh, life is just perfect with Jesus. I think we take a look at the history of the church and we take a look at the followers of the church. Take a look at Paul in his life. It just isn't, because living in a godless culture where Satan is the prince of this world and where people do whatever they feel like doing and they call it good, and God calls it evil. You know, sin in so many circles, Christian churches and circles, sin is dismissed as something that only Christian extremists embrace. You know, anything seems to go. Sexual immorality, lying, stealing, murder are justified by their own rules. And, you know, many who identify as Christians embrace the idea that it's okay to sin because God has forgiven them, making them free to do whatever they choose. And that is what's happened when people do not embrace a solid biblical worldview, a solid faith based on truth. This, you know, anything goes is horribly false doctrine. And the thing that I think, Steve, that bothers me every single day are those who call themselves Christians because they maybe intellectually believe that, yes, Jesus did die and raise again, period. and doesn't take it to the next step. Therefore, in gratitude, I'm going to worship him. Say if you're waiting for things to get better, before you have God living in you and you have experienced his peace and his joy, that sadly you're waiting in vain. If we think that COVID-19 vaccine will cure all future illnesses, we're mistaken. You know, if we believe that God is okay with Christians, and I say that in quotation marks, that are not following Christ and want only to please themselves, he is not. And to disobey God and think there are no consequences for sin is a fatal misunderstanding of God and his word. The reality is that Christ is way more terrifying than we think. Seriously, he is a righteous judge, and he punishes sins in ways that we can't. You know, we all love the idea of God, vengeance is mine, says the God, until it's turned toward us. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. This idea that we can just dismiss God and, you know, diminish his holiness. You know, God makes it very clear. He is not like us. And our life is short. And after we die, we'll be under judgment by our righteous God. It just is. We will all stand before him.
That's right.
And to be honest, Stephen, I know we've talked about this in the past. He's not so interested in how often you attend church or how many verses you can memorize. Not that that's not important. But to memorize, just to memorize, I don't think God's into that. I think he's very clear he's not. Nor how many Bible studies we attend. But when a person believes that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who died for their sins, and is saved, you know, though the proof of salvation then for all of us is how do we live out our life?
Yeah.
And if you're a God's child and love him, you will want to obey him. You will want to show him your gratitude for what he's done for you. You will have a DNA transformed in you that says, Lord, thank you for what you've done.
Well, this peace then, if we're going to lose that if we go on sinning, right?
Well, yeah. You know, again, in scriptures, Hebrews 10, let me just read this, because he just lays it out. I mean, right here. For if we go on sinning deliberately, after receiving the knowledge of truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Boom. But a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has not set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. Now, this is Old Testament. And then he moves here. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by one who is trampled underfoot the Son of God? And has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has outraged the spirit of grace. That's what he's talking about, people who have called themselves Christian, but yet trample on Jesus. He is not following them, or for those who have heard and have responded this way. And it goes on here to say, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I think the reality of God of wrath isn't because he just wants to pour out his wrath on us, quite the opposite. And I think his anger comes because he's a jealous God. He wants you to have the very best. He doesn't want you to fall under the spell of a godless culture. And he wants that so much for you that there's a penalty to pay for all of us when we lose our vision.
Well, to me, it sounds ultimately then in the decision that we have to make. We have the peace and the hope of eternal life with Jesus. It all depends on making this deliberate choice. So it's either that narrow way or the wide way, right?
Yes, and you're right. And when we choose the narrow way, no matter what the circumstances, and we put our trust in God, and we have a sense of God through the Holy Spirit that lives in us all day long. That's when we will have the peace and hope of eternal life with Jesus. There is time coming, Steve, and we look at this life that we have now. It's just a blip in time. And during that blip is when we are called by God to choose Him as our Lord and Savior. Because in the end of eternity that has no end, we will have peace and hope with Jesus, with no more sadness, no more death, no more sickness, loneliness, or evil, and the list goes on. But as a holy and righteous as our God is, as is the judgment peace of our God, His love for you is much greater than vengeance and judgment. Keep in mind, much greater. He is calling for us to come to Him. All people, I don't care what their background is, what their present religion is that they're following, because He loves you. The great I Am, the creator of the universe, is calling all of us to come to Him. To know Him personally, to believe, to walk with Him, because His gift to you and to me and to all mankind, His gift that He's offering is love and forgiveness and hope, not only in 2021, but for eternity. That's our hope.
That is a hope that we can put and bring to the bank. We know God's faithfulness. We can lean on that. And that's why what you are doing, the ministry of Anchors Away, worldview and leadership training, is so, so important. If you have been intrigued by this question, if you have heard some things that resonate in your spirit, I want to encourage you to go to anchorsaway.org or visit Kelly and Steve. .org under the resources tab and find out more about worldview and leadership training available through Anchors Away. Nancy, this is an excellent question, a wonderful way to start off 2020, and we're so grateful for you and your ministry this morning.
Well, thank you, Steve. I love you guys, and we need to be together in these days and encourage one another that all is well. All is well.
Yes, we do. That is absolutely correct. We do need that encouragement, and I appreciate you. Nancy, thanks so much. We'll be checking back in with you next week. You can always catch our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week every single Tuesday, Teaching Tuesday at 7:10, right here on Mornings with Kelly and Steve. And